Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, pet peeves coming up at 1:20. NFL training camp's going on right now, right next door to us. We'll take you inside the bubble with Sean Pendergast starting on Monday. He's one of 10 people allowed in the building. So is John McClain. That's 2 out of 10. That's 20% of the people allowed in that building.
On our air.
We got them both, baby.
Yeah.
Keep it locked right here on Sports
you
Radio
could.
610.
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
I'm going to ask you. Vic Beasley has reported for the Tennessee Titans. As recent as yesterday, Mike Vrabel had said that he was not there, but Vic Beasley is there. Got to be a little bit awkward for him. He's a little behind, but Vic Beasley, the man that they brought over from the Atlanta Falcons to fill the void left by Jarrell Casey, the five-time Pro Bowler, has arrived in Nashville.
He has. It was really bizarre. You touched on it. Just the fact that he didn't opt out. He wasn't on the opt-out list as of yesterday and still wasn't there. He under contract. Vrabel talked about him a little bit. Obviously, you know, I'm not trying to state the obvious here, but there's more going on here. You got to believe that he has some sort of issue or problem, or he's not comfortable with the setting there, and all of a sudden he has reported, so maybe he'll get comfortable. At his best, he can play. I mean, at his best, he can be disruptive.
What about the Texans, though? We know the opt-out deadline was yesterday. Bill O'Brien on if the Texans were going to have any more opt-outs.
Everyone is here. Everyone's reported. Some guys are in different phases of corona testing and physicals and things like that. But everybody's here.
Okay. So everybody's good to go. Full strength Texans.
That's really good news, especially when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. There was not a lot of margin for error. They'd already lost guys. Well, a guy. But there was not a lot of margin for error otherwise.
Eddie who?
Vanderdoes.
Who?
Who?
Eddie Vanderdoes.
Who? That?
What's he do?
He was on the defensive line.
Oh, okay.
Some people had him penciled in as a starter potentially until... until.
That's further proving my they need to bring in Clowney point.
I said some people say that he might have even been a starter at some point.
That'd be one of my pet peeves when people say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really might be.
Well, we'll get to that. 120?
120.
Okay.
120.
Probably guess my pet peeves, but we'll
they're all going to be grammatical.
No, they won't. We won't do that right now, though.
The NFL is considering virtual fans. Your thoughts?
They're going to have to do it. They're going to have to do something. It's been, admit it, you're more welcome to the idea now that you've seen it in action, right, in other places, especially the NBA bubble. The virtual, you know, those are true virtual.
You don't see the fans, though, during NFL games, like when the action's actually going
end
on.
End zones? I bet that's where they'll put
just
them.
Tarp it off.
No, they're going to put the virtual fans in the end zone. They might tarp off the other or put big advertisements on the sides.
I don't think you need virtual fans.
I like it, though. I don't think you need them, but I think it's a nice touch.
Man, that's going to be a weird product to look at.
Yeah. There are still some NFL teams that say they're planning on having fans, or at least a half capacity. Obviously, here, that's something that's still to be determined, but they're leaning that way. I just don't see that happening at all.
You know, like in baseball, there's kind of a filling out period for what this would be like with the fake crowd noise and the fans, the virtual fans, the lack of fans, all that. but you could kind of feel it out.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball right now, I know the Rockets, their game still means something because they're trying to avoid that seven spot, and they're still trying to maybe have a chance to get that three seed, but you still can kind of feel it out. With no preseason games and no games before the Texans, because in 34 days they're going to open the season.
Yeah.
It's immediately going to be a significant game. It's immediately going to count. And it's immediately going to be something that we've never observed before. Our eyes are not going to be able to be trained. Of all the reasons that we talk about preseason games and why it might be significant for coaches and players and guys trying to make rosters, it's kind of going to be weird for the viewers not to at least fill out what it's going to feel like.
Like, who are the new young guys?
The new atmosphere and everything.
You know, who's going to be your camp crush? It's going to be hard for us to have a camp crush. We're going to have to rely on Sean Pendergast.
I'm even talking about what the crowd noise feels like and stuff.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to train yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be right off the top. Texans versus Chiefs. Packers going their first two home games without fans. So probably no Lambeau leaps, although you know someone's going to do a Lambeau leap into the empty crowd. You're telegraphing it. It's very obvious. So ha, 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 Green Bay Packers. Ha,
you already
ha,
see
ha.
It coming, huh?
Yeah, it's coming. It's going to go down. Ha, ha. And I'm sure it'll just be eaten up and acted like it's the most creative thing ever. It's 100% going to happen, I promise you. NFL last-second opt-outs yesterday. Josh Doctson of the Jets, former TCU receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Niang. Pronounce that for me.
Niang.
Niang for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Bucks offensive tackle Brad Seaton.
Who?
Jaguars cornerback Rashawn Melvin.
Who?
And Browns guard Malcolm Pridgen.
Who? Josh Doctson has played. He's done something.
Maybe at TCU. I haven't seen too much. Oh, did I say Redskins? Damn it.
Washington's football team.
Dump that, Figgy. Washington's football
Sweet team. Helmets, by the way.
The numbers?
Yeah.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind every city being called the city football team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Houston football team would be good versus the Jacksonville football team.
By the way, that's my...
I think they should do that for every team.
No, I've predicted...
Get rid of names.
I've predicted that is going to happen in our lifetimes.
Why?
Or your lifetime, anyway.
Why?
But, because of money. Because the Premier League, and I know you roll your eyes at professional soccer, and you're literally rolling your eyes right now. They do it right with relegation. And they do it right with their teams. They make the most money out of that. Like Liverpool, they call them the Reds, but mm-hmm. Liverpool, my squad, mm-hmm. they have Standard Charter on their chartered on their jerseys. That way you can use the city name and the endorsement, the advertiser. That I think NFL, NBA, baseball, all of it. It could be Houston, and then Minute Maid is going to be on their jerseys. It's coming. No, 100%. It's coming. That day is
100%,
coming.
100%, huh?
100%.
Okay.
It's already started. You know, in training camp.
So they're just going to get rid of the Cowboys. Well, like in Dallas, they're just going to say, all right,
they'll still be.
Let's get rid of the Cowboys. Dallas team and put AT&T on our jersey.
You're missing my point. They're still going to be. Liverpool is the Reds. They're still the Reds. But on their jerseys, it says Liverpool and has Standard Chartered. On the Cowboys' jerseys, they're going to be the Cowboys, but it's going to have Dallas. And it's going to have Pepsi. It's already starting, Landry. I mean, every training camp team has a patch on their shoulder, including the Texans. Isn't theirs Verizon or Xfinity or one of something like that? I'm going to make somebody mad. But it's one of those. And it's already starting. No, it's going to happen. 100%. Book it.
Well, yeah, they're going to put logos on, but they're not going to
be called their whole jersey. Their whole jersey, just like in the Premier League.
So... Are there going to be cheerleaders this year?
I think virtually, yes. Because I saw the Texans tweeted out. Yes, the Texans tweeted out there.
Virtually?
How about this? Some little girl, her whole life, dreams of being a Houston Texans cheerleader. All right? Finally makes the squad, and she's going to have to do it virtually. Because they announced their squad about a week ago or so.
So they're just going to be dancing at their home like they're almost like on a Peloton?
I mean, I'm not one, so I don't know exactly, but I'm guessing that's going to be something like that.
So when the Washington football team, not the R words,
yeah,
when the virtual cheerleaders are at home cheering,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to say? Go football team! Go football team! Like, what are they going to say?
Washington.
Because normally it's like,
Washington.
Go Texans! Go Texans! Are they going to look in the camera and go, go football team! Yeah. Go football team!
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're going to do? Are they going to say, go Washington?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, go football team, right?
They have to. Go Washington. They're going to say, yeah, virtual.
It's just, I don't know about that.
I don't either, but I think that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be.
So, like with the NBA,
they have a squad, so they're going to use them. I saw them tweet about this new squad last week, I think. So they're going to have them. They're going to use them. Because it's not like they're going to appearances. There's not a lot of events going on.
Are they still going to play football time in Houston?
Yes,
even
they
when the
are.
Fans aren't there.
Yes, they are.
That you know is- what? Next time we interview a Texans player, I got to ask them what they think about that song. Because I'm going to start a movement to where every I get Deshaun, I get JJ, I get Merciless, I get all these guys on the record of saying that song stinks,
yeah.
So that maybe I can run it out of town.
There you go. That's a good project.
That's my main goal.
That's a good project.
That's my main goal because I guarantee no one likes it.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you're right.
I've yet to meet a person that likes It's Football Time in Houston by
mm-hmm.
Clay Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do intros too?
Dude, it's like you're reading my pet peeves for the Texans.
Well, I've already mentioned two of mine, so,
so
we might have a tie.
We might have a
no,
little,
are they,
I got one that you want, I think.
Were they going to introduce players, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? I thought that was for the fans.
JJ!
What? Is it weird to introduce, if you get introduced, is it weird to do a dance without fans in the stands, or do you still do it?
No, they're
going
to be so fired up, they're still going to do it. They're still going to get all pumped up. Just no fans.
When is this 25? When is the 25% capacity going to potentially
or
happen?
Or 50 or whatever
when
it is.
When is that going to potentially happen?
First of all, I don't think it's going to happen, but some cities have already said no fans in the NFL. Some have not, including Houston, just yet, but I don't think it's going to happen. They'll be empty. At least to start the year, they'll be empty.
Go Washington football team, huh?
Yep. They got cheerleaders, too.
The Browns don't have cheerleaders.
They never have, right?
Nope.
And I think Green Bay is the other one. Green Bay has actual cheerleaders.
Let's be honest, though.
Like with the pyramids and all that stuff. They don't have a dance team.
Cleveland wouldn't be able to put a squad together anyway. Fake.
Oh, that's a shot. That's a shot.
You're wrong, my friend. I'll just say that. You're wrong.
It's Around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Pet peeves about each major team and pet peeves in life.
Yeah.
Texans, Stros, Rockets, life. Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Landry Locker, the OG John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. It's a big time right now. I mean, this is a buffet of sports. You have the Rockets in the final stretch of their season. They got four games remaining before the playoffs begin in about a week and a half. You got the Astros with a massive series in Oakland against the first place A's. And you got the Texans less than 5 weeks away from training camp. It's awesome to have sports back. It's also awesome to have stuff to complain about that is serious but not that serious. Like, sports hate is healthy. Sports pet peeves compared to what we've been complaining about the last few months or what people on Facebook have been complaining about the last few months. We didn't do that on these airwaves. It's good to get back to the sports. And in the spirit of that,
Let's complain a little bit.
Our pet peeves with the Stros, our pet peeves with the Rockets, our pet peeves with the Texans, and our pet peeves in life. 713-572-4610. If you want to weigh in on that.
It's time to gripe. Let's air our grievances.
Where do we start?
Let's start with the Texans because, Figgy, you don't have to have the whole list, but do you have any popping into your head? Just jump on in. Let's start with the Texans because I think we're going to have some overlap.
Okay.
A lot of overlap.
Okay.
Number one for me is the player introductions.
Me too.
Me three.
Yeah.
I wrote that
Whitney!
Down.
Whitney! And you can see people in the stands going like, what's his last name again? Oh, Merciless!
Why are you making me work? just say the whole name.
Yeah.
And then ask me to cheer. Mm-hmm. The say the first name thing, they introduce it as a tradition too. A tradition?
First game. They said, we are doing this. Y'all get on in. My number two, and I think we have overlap on this one too, Clay Walker.
Yes. 100%, yes.
Mine too.
Yeah. That's, both of us are in on the Clay Walker. So that's a three-piece of two pet peeves that we have.
I have a third one. I don't think you're going to have this one.
Where is this?
It's
going?
A 2020 pet peeve.
Something new?
2020 Texans pet peeve.
Spelling of team?
When I ask you about your football team, capital I don't need
P,
to be blessed.
Capital E, capital that? A, capital M.
When I ask you about your football team, I don't need to be blessed.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
And if I could have this conversation, Jack, if you're listening, I would have this conversation with you. I've made very clear. I go to church. Not all the time. I'm faithful. I'm religious. When we're talking about your football team, let's talk football.
Let me see your Catholic, your Star of David or whatever.
Star of
David. What was
that? He's mixing religions, man.
Yeah, that's definitely Jewish. what? I'm not Catholic. I'm Baptist. So give me something. You're a little rusty. You haven't been to church in a while.
Dude, I used to be.
You just did. Figgy, you see that? He's a little rusty.
Because it's smooth, man. I used to be an altar boy, dude. Love the weddings.
Thank you so much, John. I hope you're well.
I used to get in trouble, or all the kids would get in trouble because when we go to the plate, we would do that. Mm-hmm. And we're not Catholic, but we just did it because Pudge Rodriguez did.
Oh, God.
Beat the plate and then do that. And it's like, my mom's like, you're not Catholic, Landry. Okay. All right. My third Texans pet peeve. So you have, we both have the Clay Walker. We both have the PA guy. You have the blessed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed.
You can bless me. Just not when I'm talking football with you.
My pet peeve is... Let's just move on.
Okay.
Let's just move on.
Astros. Do you have any other Texans pet peeve?
I did.
What is it?
The roof not being open.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't like people asking the same question twice at press conferences.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's what I don't like.
Okay. You didn't want to throw him under the bus.
What do you think about that?
Now, we give him a hard time. He actually has pretty damn good questions that need to be asked.
Yeah, he does. Astros. Pet peeve number one, not bunting.
Yeah. I can co-sign that one.
Pet peeve number two, maybe it's just because we're close, but it seems like the Astros do the wave more than most other squads.
Do they? I don't
Every
think so.
Game I've been to. Every game I've
Why
been to.
Why do people hate the wave?
It's just tired.
My pet peeve is people who hate the wave. Like, what's so bad about the wave? Yeah. When did that become so bad for fans to get up and get into the game?
Yeah.
You're a curmudgeon.
It's tired and old.
No, people just copied
it's
that.
It's run its course.
I feel like one person said they hated the wave, and then people just copied it and started saying it. There's nothing wrong with the wave. There's nothing wrong with the wave.
There's a lot wrong with the wave.
You don't say that when the Premier League does it. They do everything right.
Yes, I do. The Premier League does do everything right, by the way. And my third one, I'm hesitating bringing this up.
Uh-oh.
Because much like the I don't need to be blessed take, I feel as if people are going to misinterpret what I'm saying. But I'll say it.
Uh-oh.
Unless it's Memorial Day or 4th of July
or
a military appreciation day,
uh-oh,
I don't need to hear God bless America in the seventh inning. People are doing it every game now. I like, what's wrong with keeping the pace up? You know, do the stars at night. Just do that. Deep in the heart of Texas. Just do that.
It's too much of a spectacle.
It's too much. It's too a little bit too contrived. Like, they're trying too hard to be American.
Now, I know they started doing it after 9/11.
Yes. And no, I sing and I stand and the whole thing. It's just like, it gets to be a bit too much. Just keep the pace up, you know? Keep the mood happy. Just do deep in the heart of Texas.
My Stroh's pet peeves, the cheating obsession, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams were doing it and stuff. Let's just move past it. I love these guys very much. I think we're blessed to have them. But Jeff Blum and Todd Kalas, look, dude, like there's a lot of guys that put in a lot of effort to make the broadcast sound as good as it can whenever you're not actually in the ballpark. So I don't need to hear 15 times over the course of a broadcast how you guys aren't at the yard. Like, I don't need to hear it 15 times.
That's not a pet peeve, but they probably do need to move on.
I mean, there's a lot of people who that takes away from the experience because it does feel like you were there.
Yeah.
Just go about your business.
Just play it along.
Just go about your business. I mean, it's like when we were broadcasting from home. We weren't sitting there saying, oh, we're here. Nah, I would just move on. That's a small pet peeve. That could just be a me thing. And Joe Biagini's jokes is my final pet peeve. Here's a little taste of that cornball.
How about this time I ask the questions? How sad are you guys going to be to come up with more than one question per interview? Because I usually ramble. How's that going to be?
It's
going to
be tough without you.
It's going to be tough for me as well. I was wondering that if I was going to get traded, if it would end up being a team in the U.S., and it turned out to be. It's fun. I'm excited to go to space.
Get him out of here. Be a genie. Onto the Rockets. Pet peeves. Healthy pet peeves.
I have one other Astros. I only have two Rockets pet peeves.
Why are you so hard on the Astros?
So I have. Well, it's. Not,
I got one too.
It's not necessarily the Astros. Right. Weird word Wednesday.
Come on.
No, she does a good job, and it ran its course. You know Blum is about tired of trying to get these words into it.
Nah, he loves it.
No, he doesn't.
Shout out to L-Mac. I love
it. I love L-Mac. She does a great job.
Word Wednesday's good.
It had a shelf life. It fell off the shelf like the elf, and time to move on. Come up with something else, and I'm in.
Boy, you're crazy.
Come up with something else. Figgy. What do you got, Figgy?
The ALCS ring giveaway.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Perfect.
Gosh, yes. Rockets pet peeves.
I got two that popped into mind. Rockets Twitter. I mean,
the referees and stuff.
Everybody's not out to get the Rockets. If you read Rockets Twitter, it gets so tired. Well, you suck. Oh God. Oh, the referees hate us. Oh, yeah, those were legit championship. Of course, nobody's saying they're not. I mean, outside of the people here, know they were legit. Rockets Twitter is just so thin-skinned and insecure.
I would say refs, which I think is an NBA thing, MVP arguments. And the way Tillman Fertitta treats Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, and his players after they lost to the Warriors, where he said that they didn't have his killer instinct.
Well, you tied in.
It's a trick question.
You tied into one of my second one. The fact that Daryl Morey is Teflon. Nobody dares criticize Daryl Morey because he's a really nice guy that I like. I really get along great with Daryl Morey. But no one is beyond being criticized or at least questioned for never having won anything.
COG John Lopez, Landry Locker.
Now life
with you. We'll go to life in a sec. We're also going to do some Friday future trip and lots going on, lots to get into. Such little time. Keep it locked. In the Loop continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so we got a PGA championship going on in golf.
You'll hear that in Friday Future Tripping.
Got a big series for the Astros in Oakland against the A's. 2.5-game lead for the A's. Zach Greinke on the bump tonight. Then you're going to have Framber Valdez. And you're going to have Christian Javier. Rockets' magic number is 1 to avoid the 7 seed. So you have that going on. There's all kinds of sports going on right now. And we'll do a little bit of Friday Future Tripping in just a second. You look at the Texans, you look at business going on right now, 5 weeks away from the start of the season. Obviously, they're trying to gel on offense, they're trying to gel on defense, they're trying to gel on special teams. Kyemi Fairbairn is the one guy that has to be the best version of himself for the Texans to be, I guess, okay.
Yeah.
We've seen kickers get the yips before. Fairbairn had some struggles last year. A lot of people equate it to him having a new holder, which I can get down with. I mean, it was proportional when You know, you got rid of Trevor Daniel and you brought back Brian Anger. Mm-hmm. I can get down with that.
It was a factor.
But you've also seen kickers kind of fall off very, very quickly. Of all the guys that need to be the best version of themselves, obviously Deshaun Watson needs to be his best version. You'd like to see JJ do it, but you can't have a situation where your kicker's not out there being more what he was in 2018 compared to what we saw during that stretch in 2019.
Yes, I agree. Because for a number of reasons, you paid him a lot of money for a kicker. I was on the other side of this in the past, last year. I was thinking that, you know, maybe it was time to cut bait with him when he was struggling. You stayed with him, and you were proven correct. He ended up bouncing back, you know, pretty strong. But then they gave him a real good contract. I thought they should have at least brought in some more competition for him this year. If they bring in competition this year, it's not going to be a real competition because of that contract. He's going to keep the job unless he just completely spits.
Guaranteed $4.5 million next year.
Unless he just completely spits the bit, he's going to be the kicker. But I'm with you that he is kind of low-key one of the most important figures for the Texans season because they play close games. They play close games. They'll continue to play close games because that's Bill O'Brien's style. He keeps it close. He keeps games close. They never, very rarely, blow anyone out because of their defense and because of his approach. They're going to be playing close games. It's going to come down to kicks, man. At least 3, 4, 5 times during the year, your kicker's going to have to come up with a huge kick, whether it's in the third or fourth quarter or at the very end of the game.
You can't afford to not have Kiami being the best version of himself.
Yeah.
Offensively, we know what the question marks are for the Texans offensively. They've struggled in the past to effectively run up-tempo, although Bill O'Brien's on the record saying he thinks they're better when they play fast. A lot of people have been calling for them to play fast. You know, Deshaun was running no huddle at Clemson. He's kind of the type of quarterback where he comes from that spread, up-tempo, fast offense, mm-hmm. but you really don't see him run it that often. Do you think without fans in the stands, the teams that run up-tempo are going to be able to do it at a faster pace and it's going to be a lot easier?
I do, and as you're talking about that, I'm kind of realizing that I'm contradicting myself in a sense because I feel like the only way the Texans are going to be able to get where they want to is by doing that, by going real fast, scoring a lot of points, going up and down the field. But I just said that Bill O'Brien likes to play the games close too. That is his style. I think it's just going to have to be adjusted for Deshaun Watson. I also said earlier that all these people saying – they want Deshaun Watson to get rid of the ball quicker. I could not disagree more. I want his best health. I want him healthy, but not to sacrifice, you know, a weapon, which is one of his best weapons. I think defer to Deshaun when in doubt and let him just be him.
What if Tim Kelly's just a genius?
That would be awesome. Well, he'll be a coach for 1 year. He'll be the play caller for 1 year, but it might be a great year.
What if he is just one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the league, and Tim Kelly takes over this offense, and it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Move over, Sean McVay. Tim Kelly's in town. What if that does happen?
He might be this head coach. No. If Tim Kelly does what, you know, what we would in a dream world have, he'll be a head coach somewhere.
The only reason I asked this.
Maybe Jacksonville.
Is because, oh my gosh. the only reason I asked this is because if you look at the Atlanta Falcons and look at what the Atlanta Falcons were, the last time they really had a really good season was 2016 when they played in the Super Bowl right here against the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn was the head coach. Kyle Shanahan came in. They took it to the next level with Kyle Shanahan. Matt Ryan was the MVP. The offense was great. Bada bing, bada boom. Shanahan goes to San Francisco. He becomes the head coach in San Francisco. San Francisco returns to the Super Bowl for the first time since 95, 96. And now the Falcons have taken a step back because Kyle Shanahan left.
Mm-hmm.
If Tim Kelly is like some sort of genius, and let's say he's up there with the Shanahans and the McVays and everything,
I know where
like
you're
that,
going with this.
No, I'm serious. Like, yeah. If that does happen, why don't you make him the next head coach so you don't lose him and what happened to Atlanta doesn't happen to you?
That's what I just said. Make him the head coach here. It's not going to happen because Bill O'Brien will get all the credit.
Right, but then you'll take a step back if he is some sort of genius.
Yes,
if you lose
you
the
will.
Genius, then you go back to what you were.
Yes, you will. You absolutely will. Bill O'Brien, yeah, we lost a good one in Tim Kelly, but the good news is I'm calling the plays again. Oh, great.
Awesome. There really are situations over the course of time
where you should have done that.
Where you should have just said, all right, you're a coordinator, but you're more important than the head coach. I'm gonna make you the coach.
Yeah.
Instead of letting you go somewhere else.
Absolutely. I mean, you could probably think of a handful of those things that if they had it to do over again, they would have kept the coordinator, not the coach.
And then it happens.
Atlanta would have done it.
Yeah, I mean, if they could go back in time, they would have made Shanahan the head coach.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, like that's 100% certainty what they would have done. Now let's look at the other side of things because that's optimistic. But I mean, heck, if it happens, then it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But what if Tim Kelly's just a disaster? What if Tim Kelly's worse than Bill O'Brien?
Mm-hmm.
Then what? Does Bill O'Brien get to then go search for another offensive coordinator and bring him in? Does he grab the play sheet and act like he's saving the day?
God,
then what? Then what?
No, I know. That's an interesting point because would he kick the can down the road again? Well, Tim Kelly didn't work. But the good news is I'm getting someone else calling the plays or I'm calling the plays again or whatever. And this time we really mean it. We're going to be good. I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
8780 on the text line says, in all caps, huge difference between a 20 and a 30-year-old athlete running in an up-tempo offense. No, it's not.
Not really.
It's not. You're telling me that from the age of 20 to 30, it's different? Not for professionals.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of professionals that run up-tempo. Other teams are running up. Hell, the Patriots were running up-tempo. Huge difference between 20 and 30? That's something nobody's talking about, and that's also something nobody should be talking about.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
We'll get to Friday Future Tripping in just a sec. Let's talk about the life pet peeves. We've gone through
pet
peeves. Life pet peeves.
All right. My first life pet peeve, if you listen to the show, you know it. It's so irritating. People who drive with their flashing lights on in the rain. Just stop.
Why does that bother you so much?
Because it's dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. They are lights that you're supposed to use when you pull over to the side of the road in an emergency or emergency situation or a breakdown type situation. So it can confuse people. You tend to lose the center line or the center lines of your road a lot of times when there's a lot of rain. And if someone sees flashing lights, you might actually over-adjust or adjust too quickly and you cause somebody having a wreck by having your flashing lights on. It's a big pet peeve.
All right, my first life pet peeve is when people say listen before a sentence.
Listen.
I'm talking to you, bro. Like, don't say listen. Like, I'm sitting here talking to you. I don't need you to preface what you're saying with listen. Cut it out.
You don't like when I say we'll see you later.
Yeah, because it's only you. It doesn't make any sense.
But that's a Texasism.
No, it is.
It is. He hates that. I always do that. I do it to Figgy, too. All right, we'll see you later.
And it's literally just him.
It's what you do.
God, I hate that.
Do you have a life pet peeve?
Yeah, it's kind of on the same page as this. A lot of people down here say on tomorrow or on yesterday. We talked about this. On tomorrow on the show, I just don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
And I'm not a speech type of police person.
That ties into my second one is the simple grammar. I get everybody has grammar problems at some point when you're tweeting or you're writing something, especially like in an email, like in an office email. Your Y-O-U apostrophe R-E is you are, not Y-O-U-R. Two, as in also, is T-O-O. It's okay to have some grammar mistakes. We all do. But simple grammar is a huge pet peeve.
This isn't even a pet peeve. I've stopped talking to friends that I was friends with for a long time when they did this. This isn't a pet peeve. This is a you should go straight to hell if you do it.
Hell on a scholarship?
Honestly, hell on a scholarship, full ride, blue chip. People who are rude to waiters.
Yeah.
I don't even care if the waiters. Care if the waiters not doing a bad job. I don't care if the waiter screws up your order.
Yeah.
I don't care if you ordered your beer 10 minutes ago. It doesn't matter. People who are rude to waiters are the scum.
Those are the worst people
scum
in the world.
Scum of the earth.
Those are the worst people in the world. You got another one, Figgy? I got one. I literally hate the way people use the word literally. God, it just makes my skin crawl.
Because it's always obvious.
I literally was on fire. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
I'm literally starving to death.
Yeah.
No, you look
pretty healthy.
Yeah, you ate breakfast.
You're hungry. You look hungry.
Let's go to the Coca-Cola slanger. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Pet peeve of mine is when you meet a woman on the dating site and she don't smile, but then when you meet her in person, her teeth, one of them, they looking at each other, or one is leaning to the side with a gangster lean and looking like they've been chewing on bricks for snacks.
She's got a sign on her front tooth that says, next to 3 miles. It's basically what the Coca-Cola slinger is talking about. There's some dishonest people on that on those Bumble apps.
Captain Scott on the bat phone, I could care less.
Yeah, it's I couldn't. You do that.
I say, but they're both accurate.
No.
No, they're both accurate.
No, he's right. He's absolutely right. No, Mr. Grammar. No, Mr. Grammar. It's I couldn't care less. Don't even try to justify your flaw.
No, it's not a flaw.
Don't even try to justify it.
The extreme, the ultimate is I couldn't care less. But I could care less is accurate because you could care less.
No. I don't like people. I don't like people are saying without specifics. I don't like the ultimate straw man argument bothers me because and it happens in every topic, but they say the same people who are saying this are saying this, and it's like just give me a specific, because it feels like you're taking the worst extreme example from one group of people and then you're taking that and you're connecting it to something, but you're not giving me a specific.
Mm-hmm.
That does not really make a lot of sense to me. That's one of my pet peeves. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
And my anti-pet peeve, you guys have a pretty good radio.com picture. You both look pretty good. And what's nice is with Landry, he has his sad, sunken, dead eyes, which is perfect for the resident hater of 6'10".
No, that's
his
my
eyes
complexion.
Are dead. He had doll's eyes.
That's my complexion, dude.
Yeah, it's like the Jaws guy.
He is right. I do got the eyes. It's just it's always been my complexion.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I don't sleep much.
Yeah.
So there is that. But he's absolutely right. It could be worse though. You could have a worse picture.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You got shark eyes.
I got shark eyes.
Like doll's eyes.
I didn't even know sharks. Yeah, their eyes are on the side. Mm-hmm. Let's do a little tripping. Friday.
Let's do a little tripping.
Big sports weekend. Let's trip balls. Before we go into the weekend. Friday Future Tripping here on In the Loop.
All right. You ready? In a shocker. Astros take 2 out of 3, man. Astros take 2 out of 3 against the A's.
Okay.
No pitching, no problem. Time to rake. And we'll see if anybody does the Heil Hitler salute. That guy, how dumb do you have
to be?
What
are you talking about?
The bench coach for the A's did the Hitler sign. Twice after the win yesterday.
What?
He did. He said it was an accident, that it meant something else. He was trying to keep his distance.
Okay.
I don't know if you would ever go there for any reason whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah. You got one?
Yeah. I think that Jose Altuve is going to have 3 multi-hit games in this series. I think Altuve is about to break out. 3 hits last night, 2 hits in every game of the series against the Oakland A's.
Okay. The winner of the 2020 PGA Championship.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Brendan Todd.
What?
Who?
Brendan Todd will win the PGA. Don't look at me with those shark eyes.
I don't know who that is.
Well, you will by Sunday.
Okay. Tiger Woods will be within 3 strokes of the lead on Sunday. PGA Championship.
I could see that.
You'll hear it right here. You will hear Tiger Woods within 3 strokes of the lead as he puts on that red and tees off in the PGA Championship, which means people will watch.
Your Rockets are going to lock up their seeding and then shut it down until the postseason, pretty much. Just like the Lakers. People are like thinking the Lakers are just struggling or whatever.
They don't have to win.
They don't care. They don't even have to win.
There's nothing that they have to do.
Yeah.
They don't have to do crap. Zach Greinke.
Uh-oh.
Gets the win tonight.
Good storytelling skills.
I appreciate you, Zach. He gets the win tonight. Astros postgame right after 8:10. He gets the dub. Stros win. Greinke wins. 2 out of 3, according to the OG, John Lopez.
Yes,
man,
sir.
There's a lot going on. Texans training camp still going on. We got you covered on Monday. We're going to start going inside the bubble with Sean Pendergast. We're going to go inside the bubble with John McClain. We're going to be 4 weeks and change away from the season actually starting. We're going to react to the Astros. We will be 25% through the season following the series against the A's. By the way, those are 3 o'clock first pitches. So you're going to get to watch the baseball and the golf at the same time. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610.
And I get to be on the postgame show because it's not too late.
And John Lopez gets to be on the postgame show, which is actually going to be on Facebook Live, by the way, because we have the PGA.
I can do that.
You can hop on Facebook Live, and we can see what's popping on that. It's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be a stacked weekend. There's going to be all types of stuff going on, and we are approaching football season. My goodness, I can hardly wait. I can hardly contain myself. Thanks to everyone who contributed to this one. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. If you don't work this weekend, enjoy yourself. Relax. Consume alcohol. If you don't consume alcohol, consume lots of water. If you're on a diet, stay disciplined. If you're not on a diet, eat as much junk as possible. If you smoke that dank, smoke that dank. Do whatever you want to do. And if you have to work, at least there's no traffic. So always look on the bright side of things. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. My gosh. We are consuming a lot of sports. I'll talk to you tonight on the postgame show, but in the meantime, Ron the Show Hughley and Wade Smith are next. And I can't stop thinking about the way things used to be. And I can't stop thinking about the love that you made for me. Thank you, Figgy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.